This is Dialogue. Dialogue, a presentation of the Public Affairs and Special Events Department of KLRB News. Today, as each Saturday at this time, Dialogue Assassination with Research Specialist May Brussel. May, I don't know if you're a public affair or a special event. I guess we'll call you a special event.
Can I be both of them?
Absolutely, absolutely. It's really a shame, May. Just noticed in the newspaper this past week that all of your research is gone for naught, that you've been refuted now because a noted New York urologist has looked at the pictures from the John Kennedy assassination, and after looking at the photographs and the x-rays from the archives, he was permitted to look at them by the Kennedy family. He says there's absolutely no doubt that Lee Harvey Oswald was the one and only assassin who killed John Kennedy. And
far
so,
out.
So now it's all solved and everything...
It's all up to me now to explain the article, right?
I think you've been properly refuted, though, because
I
that man is a doctor.
Well, I think it was a marvelous article. A lengthy article was in the San Jose Mercury this week on this doctor that went to the National Archives, and a small article was in the Monterey Herald, and a physician has gone to the archives and seen the autopsy x-rays and pictures of John Kennedy.
And it wasn't even in his specialty line of urology.
Oh, no. What I think we should do is take the article from the New York Times, and maybe you read each sentence, and I will explain my viewpoint as a researcher to this article, because very early in the show, when we first started, Bob, I called this a sensitivity training, an awareness to open your eyes, open your ears, see the newspaper better, and analyze what you're seeing. A lot of people are fed so many articles that they say, where is truth? Where does truth lie? And I welcome...
And frequently, truth does lie.
Oh, yeah, it lies very... But I welcome the chance now to answer... for people, the article that was in the newspaper, and this is the opening of Pandora's box. Everything now will spill out because qualified scientists and researchers are anxious to get into the National Archives. You know, there was a conference at Princeton, New Jersey in November of victims of J. Edgar Hoover, people that were complaining about the abuses that he's had towards the system and ex-agents and so forth, and the minutes of the meeting will be compiled in a book. And Bill Turner was back there, an ex-agent of the FBI. He wrote a chapter in the book coming out. He's done extensive research on the John Kennedy assassination, the Martin Luther King. And he was there with Bud Fensterwald, the attorney for James Ray, and Burke Marshall, the attorney for the Kennedy family, who holds the key to these archives, looked at them and said, don't bring up assassinations at this meeting. This isn't what it's about. And Fensterwald said, remember, we only have a few more months, a month or two, and then the archives is open for researchers, and we'll have our day. Now, the condition of the archives was set by the Kennedy family.
Maybe okay, before we do another thing, let me move your microphone, May, so your voice won't fade out when you look at me, and you'll be more comfortable. And, okay.
There we go.
You want to take your papers and put them on the other side?
This is fine.
I can move this over here.
Okay. Maybe if you take the article that was in the newspaper and read it paragraph by paragraph, and I will analyze in terms of my research just what is coming out through that article, and then maybe when you read your newspapers, you will begin to use my method of approach. You may not have done as much research, but think it out yourselves. There's a lot here you can figure out yourselves.
Now, the source of this article is the New York Times. It says at the top in boldface print, from the New York Times. And that's a press service the same as Associated Press or United Press International. New York Times has its own press service. So that's the source. Washington. The family of the late President John F. Kennedy, which previously had allowed only representatives of the government to inspect pictures and x-rays of the assassinated leader's body, has now begun to let interested medical specialists see the items.
Okay, now we'll take that sentence. The subject we're talking about is the homicide, the murder of a man in the United States. And the family has the power to hold the undeveloped x-rays. They can decide who inspects these pictures and x-rays, but remember that for all this time they were undeveloped and they held them. Even the Warren Commission couldn't use these x-rays. And you have to ask yourselves, under what circumstances prior to this has any family held the evidence that would solve a crime that's investigated? If a man is murdered on the Monterey Peninsula and the hospital, community hospital, takes pictures of his body and the bullet holes, are they delivered to the widow and the law enforcement can't find how many bullet holes are in that man, undeveloped, delivered to the brother of the victim, who turns out to be the Attorney General of the United States? Ask yourselves, has this ever happened before in the history of criminology in the United States? Now, it says, the first sentence said that government people were allowed to see them. I would like to know who in the government has seen them. The Warren Commission said they didn't see the x-rays. The doctors doing the autopsy said they were undeveloped. So when they say people have seen them, it would be interesting for Washington now to name the people that have been allowed to see them up till now.
Yeah, that's what the article says, has allowed only representatives of the government to inspect the pictures.
And I want to know who they are. Who are the representatives? If the films were undeveloped, who was allowed to see them?
Okay, do we move to paragraph two now?
Yes, next sentence.
Another thing I wondered about is what motivated the Kennedy family to want to withhold this evidence?
Well, let's take, none of us know, really. We're getting into the hypothetical now, away from the factual. But on the airplane, when they wanted Jacqueline to change her clothing, she said, I want them to see what they did. And in a purely speculative field, I felt that when it came out 2 years after the murder of John Kennedy, when the information came out that Robert Kennedy was holding the undeveloped x-rays, I knew then that he would run for president in 68, and that this was a blackmail deal with Lyndon Johnson, that later they would play a cat and mouse game and pretend that Johnson was war weary. But I began to make money bets and wrote letters to the effect, and was very certain that the barter for the undeveloped x-rays would be the nomination in 68.
Okay, paragraph two says, Dr. John Latimer, a New York physician who has written and lectured extensively about the assassination, became the first person outside of government auspices to see the items when he examined them Friday in the National Archives in Washington.
All right, now they make Dr. John Latimer out as being an expert who has written and lectured about the assassination. It would be difficult to know how he could be doing all of this without seeing the x-rays that were developed. The researchers write about the assassination because we talk about evidence that's damaged, evidence that was thrown away, like the car interior or the lamppost in front of Dealey Plaza or the street sign.
Well, something that occurs to me is Mae Brussell has written and lectured extensively about the assassination. You've never been permitted into the archives.
I've never been permitted in the archives, but I have a library of 109 books on the John Kennedy assassination. And as I tell the listening audience often, I take 8 newspapers a day and go through about 60 magazines a month, and I've never heard the name Dr. John Latimer. So if he was, he certainly isn't among any of the critics of the Warren Commission and their findings in terms of ballistic or autopsy and so forth. So if he's one of the defenders of the Warren Commission, it would be interesting that he's the first person allowed in. The critics don't know his name, so why was he allowed in to be the first person?
Okay, now the third paragraph says, in an interview Friday night, he said that they, and this is in quote, and he's referring to the x-rays and the photographs,
yeah,
they eliminate any doubt completely, unquote, about the validity of the Warren Commission's conclusion that Lee Harvey Oswald fired all of the shots that struck the president.
Now, this is where it begins to blow and pop, because let's think about this for a moment. Even if he saw the x-rays, and they had 2 bullet holes in the body, because that is all he should be commenting on at this point, is are there more holes in this body than the 2? But even if there were 2, which we're not sure about because he doesn't talk about that, how could any x-ray picture tell you who fired a rifle? That blows your imagination. Or who owned the rifle, or who placed the holes in the body? If he were a qualified x-ray man, which he isn't, and we'll go into, he wouldn't even venture who shot the holes into President Kennedy's
He would
body.
Not even venture what kind of weapon was used, because an X-ray specialist is not necessarily a specialist in ammunition and rifles and things like that.
That's right. And Edward J. Epstein, who wrote a book called Inquest, I hope you have your pencils again. It was a very good book about how the Warren Commission worked. It was one of the first books that came out, Viking Press. Edward Epstein said the following. He said, the pressures increased to get the Warren report out, and the pressures came from McGeorge Bundy of the White House staff that it had to be out well before the presidential election. But on September the 4th, as the galley proofs for the final draft were being written, they had to be changed because the key chapter, the identity of the assassin, was bad, and they had to revise the entire chapter. Now, if the Warren Commission couldn't identify the assassin on September the 4th, how could Dr. Latimer identify it by the X-rays?
I think it would be a good idea to take advantage of his talent, send him all over the country, and all the unsolved murders that have occurred in this country. If they have a photograph of the body, show it to Dr. Latimer, and he'd be able to tell them who committed the murder.
He could solve all the crimes in the country.
Right. Okay, let's move on to another paragraph. I think that one is self-destructive. The commission found that when Kennedy was killed on November 22, 1963, while riding in a motorcade in Dallas, Oswald did all the shooting, firing from a building behind and above the president.
Well, let's talk about that one. Even if the shots did come from above and behind the president, it would still be difficult to prove that Oswald fired the rifle for the following reasons. In the first place, there were no fingerprints on the rifle at any time that were Lee Harvey Oswald's, and this examination was done in Washington by Mr. Latona, expert of the FBI. In the second place, the paraffin tests on Oswald were negative. According to the commission letters to each other and the police memos to each other and the FBI, it ruled out the fact that he fired a rifle. In the third place, I'm going to quote a book called 70 Hours and 30 Minutes because it was NBC News. Random House published the book, and this was the broadcast that came over the air from the time John Kennedy was killed until Sunday evening. And in this book, 70 Hours and 30 Minutes, there are the following comments. At 3:13 p.m. on Friday, NBC said, the weapon used to kill the president and wounded Governor Connally has been found in the Texas School Depository on the sixth floor. It's a British 303 rifle with a telescopic sight. Later in the afternoon that same Friday, it said, it has been officially announced that the President Kennedy was dead. Reports now indicate that a German Mauser was found and three bullets were used. At 4:15 p.m. on Friday, NBC News said a rifle was found on the fifth floor of the book depository. Now, in that depository, you had a British rifle, a German Mauser, and a rifle on the fifth floor. Another point to make is that Roy Truly, manager of the book depository, forbid the FBI to fingerprint any employee in his building after John Kennedy was killed. And I have letters from the National Archives where the FBI asked him, and Lee Rankin from the commission, the head lawyer, asked Roy Truly to fingerprint other persons in that depository because other guns were removed from the depository. And he said, if I had to do that, my employees would quit, and I will not do it. And Roy Truly never fingerprinted anyone else in the depository. And another point I want to make is that when Oswald was arrested, he said he saw a German Mauser and other weapons in the depository. Roy Truly was questioned and testified there were other guns in the depository. So if this particular Dr. Latimer says that the X-rays prove that he was shot from above and behind, he still, as a urologist or as any other criminologist even, is not in a position to say who shot them. See, I know that Washington is very itchy to put this thing down. They're getting tapes of our broadcasts, and the other researchers are pressuring them now. So every once in a while, every couple of years, they have to come out with a whitewash. So if we sit here, Bob, and analyze what they're really saying, we can show you out there how to read a news article and not be complacent that the story is answered and you can go back to your happy life.
Okay. Another rifle, well, I guess that was the third one. There was an Italian rifle mentioned, though.
Italian. Well, the murder weapon turned out to be an Italian carcano. Yeah, and we'll go into that because this Dr. Lattimore is an expert on Italian rifles of the kind.
Oh, does that come
out
later?
Oh, yes, this comes out later. That his specialty, just by coincidence, as a urologist and a writer on his assassination, is to study the kinds of bullets and weapons that Lee Harvey Oswald used. This has been his hobby.
I see. Okay, we'll go on to paragraph five now. The 65 x-rays, color transparencies, and black and white negatives taken during the autopsy have been a focus of controversy because the Kennedy family had previously guarded them so closely that not even members and staff officials of the Warren Commission, which was appointed by President Johnson to investigate the assassination, were allowed to see them.
You see, even the New York Times is telling you that the Kennedy family placed the conditions. The commission couldn't use the pictures. Now, what was so controversial about these pictures, in addition to finding out that Robert Kennedy had them in his possession, was the fact that the autopsy of John Kennedy had two versions, and they're two distinct versions. One was made by the FBI and turned in about a few weeks after the assassination that said a bullet only exited in the back, finger length, and didn't exit the Adam's apple, which would mean another bullet went through John Kennedy or John Connally separately. And in that event, Lee Harvey Oswald couldn't get out that many bullets with one rifle in that amount of time. So the Warren Commission came up with a second autopsy at Dr. Hume at Bethesda, Maryland had, which said that a bullet exited John Kennedy's throat and went through John Connally and went through his back, out his chest, into his arm, into his wrist, into his thigh, where part of it still lodges, and then was found whole on a stretcher. That's the famous bullet 399 that it found under a stretcher at Parkland Hospital as they moved the bodies around. So the researchers began to ask, when Epstein's book came out about the commission not using these pictures, where are the pictures, who has them, and which version of the autopsy is correct? You have an example of Orwell's 1984, double talk, double think. There's two versions. Dr. Hume revised his autopsy and burned the first copy. And his is the official one that the commission used to investigate the murder of John Kennedy.
The revised one.
Yeah, and this is why the researchers are so anxious to get into the archives and let a man qualified in x-ray, who's not placed there to whitewash the situation, examine these pictures. Now, I think it's coincidental, or it isn't, that the conditions of examining these pictures is set just prior to the next elections. And I would think that Ted Kennedy has conditions, the Kennedy family, on these, whether they break the story or not. It's interesting that the conditions of people to get into the archives are set by the family. So if this particular doctor comes in and gives a shoddy investigation, the door is wide open now for the serious researchers to demand equal time.
Okay, the next paragraph you've already touched on. Critics of the Warren Commission's conclusions have charged that the items could disprove its conclusion, disprove the commission's conclusion, that the president was struck by only two bullets, both from the rear.
Yes, the critics of the Warren Commission claim that they want to examine the autopsy x-rays and bullet 399 and weigh the particles. And they want to examine the coat that John Kennedy wore, which is supposed to be locked up for 75 years and can't be examined, to see the direction the hole was in. The critics want to see these things, and this Dr. Lattimore hasn't answered us at all.
And the next paragraph says, it has been unofficially explained that the photos were suppressed to spare anguish to the family of the President Kennedy, whose head was partially shattered by the second fatal bullet. Lattimore said the wound that blasted away most of the right side of the brain was horrible and that the pictures should never be made public.
You see, this is the kind of thinking that we're going to spare ourselves and the family anguish, and we're protecting you from blood. All you have to do is go to your movie screen and see more blood per minute than you're going to imagine. This is a poor example of why everything is locked up. There isn't one researcher that I know, out of hundreds of them, in the United States or in Europe, that has asked to see the photograph of John Kennedy. We know he's dead. We know his head was blown off, and it would prove nothing to see the wound of his head. And that's what they're talking about. It would do nothing to disturb my system or yours to look at an x-ray of a body. You wouldn't know if that body was dead or alive. It's simply an x-ray of bones and skin. the holes wouldn't even mean anything to me or you. They would to somebody else, and they should have the right to see it. But in order to pretend that they're sparing the anguish of the Kennedy family, they justify locking up all this stuff. And they don't mention the anguish of Marguerite Oswald or the Oswald children, who have to go through life with the stigma of my son killed the president, when she knows he didn't fire a rifle. Or the children go to school and say, my daddy killed the president, which is an untrue story. There's a lot of anguish suffered by a lot of people related to this murder.
Well, investigation of these photographs and x-rays would not necessarily mean that they're then going to be splashed in full color on the front pages of all the newspapers in the nation, or that anyone in the Kennedy family will be compelled to look at them.
Well, that's right. I mean, any murder, homicide, causes anguish to everybody involved. And we very seldom see pictures of bodies that are dead or blown up or blown apart.
Did it create an awful lot of anguish when Dr. Latimer looked at them? I wasn't even aware he had until this newspaper article came out.
No, he told you that the country has to be spared the anguish. And my answer to that remark is that I don't even want to see the pictures. That isn't what we're talking about. We're talking about the particles of a bullet that are whole, or how many holes are in this particular man's body. We're not talking about the photograph of his exterior.
Okay, in the next paragraph. But Dr. Latimer concluded that the Warren Commission might have made a stronger case if the staff personnel who had prepared its report had had access to the pictures and x-rays.
Well, that's for sure. Can you really take that? I mean, that is a fact, that the Warren Commission would have had a stronger case if we could have seen the x-rays. And they also would have had a stronger case if all the evidence had fit together with a particular murder. But as I say, when the car that John Kennedy was driving was airlifted to Washington and then taken to Michigan, and the interior was ripped out without one photograph in all the documents or research showing any ballistic examination of the car for the depth of the bullets, the amount of bullets, the location of the bullets, and the street sign was removed from Dealey Plaza and the lamppost, when all this evidence was physically destroyed and some of it was never developed and others part of it was locked up for 75 years. It does cause people to say the Warren Commission didn't have a strong case.
Dr. Latimer said the items make three crucial points. First, that the initial bullet passed through the president's body at a distinctly downward angle, more so than the drawings released by the Warren report show.
Yeah, this is where Dr. Latimer really gets into it, and this is very funny, Bob, because he is trying to say that it's even more accurate than you would believe because it's a downward position. Well, when the Warren Commission wrote their report, they had a problem with the law of physics. They had several of these problems, the direction that John Kennedy's head went into, and also the direction of the bullet, because if Lee Harvey Oswald were shooting from the sixth floor straight down, the bullet would take a downward course all through his body, through his lower extremities, you see. But in order to make that one bullet do everything it had to do, it had to go uphill to his Adam's apple and go into John Connolly. So when the Warren Commission reconstructed the murder and they used some goats and some fat and put some bodies in a car, they went on the fifth floor of the depository so the trajectory wouldn't be so far steep going down from the sixth floor. But he goes overboard here and says it goes way down and the bullet came higher up than you would believe. But then he doesn't begin to explain in the article how it could exit out the Adam's apple. So he's caught right here with the law of physics, and the researchers in the East will be catching on to this immediately.
Yeah, the artist who illustrated for the Warren Commission report showed it going almost parallel to the ground.
Well, they had to do a drawing because they wouldn't develop the pictures, and the artist was told what to draw in the Warren report, and solving a homicide has a body right there to work on, and the artist is called in to do a drawing of what somebody tells him to do. But now this man has blown it by saying the bullet goes higher up, which makes it even harder to exit out the Adam's apple. You see, there's a whole...
Well, he explains that, though. Yeah. There's a later quote here in this next paragraph. Some critics have asserted that the shot was fired from the front by a second assassin hiding on a grassy knoll facing the presidential car. That's based on the bullet holes being parallel. Latimer said that the front hole is so far below the back one that if anyone were to have shot him from the front, they would have had to be squatting on the floor of the car in front of him.
Well, they wouldn't have to be squatting on the floor, but there's a lot of question about that manhole cover right on Dealey Plaza that connects right through the street down to a car agency right under that freeway. And there's an opening. I've seen it, and you can stand right in there, and you could easily shoot from there. The fact that we don't have the car to examine doesn't tell us if a bullet did come from any other direction. You see, and then the bullet that blew off John Kennedy's head could come from an area right equal in height from the grassy knoll with a little elevation and not come from up high at all, which is what the researchers have concluded. But when he says it would come from the ground, if the car was removed and completely revealed, how would we know?
Okay, second, the second point that Dr. Latimer makes, photos of the wound in the back of the neck show what appears to be a circular bruise, which is typical of wounds of entry, he said.
Now, that is the kind of wording the Warren Report uses throughout its whole thing. It appears to be, or it's typical of, I have memos of the commission staff to each other, and when they don't have a definite answer or any proof, these are the kind of words they like to use, what appears to be. They don't say the photos of the wound are a circular bruise which proves entry. They say it appears to be, and it's typical of, but they can't give an affirmative because it just doesn't exist. So they are using words. This is something you have to learn to do when you're reading newspaper articles, to see if there's positive statements or if it's just this clouded kind of vocabulary. And this is why I want to read the article out loud with the people, is to show that is the kind of wording the Warren Report possesses.
Third, the x-rays prove that the front and back bullet holes were made by the same bullet, which passed through the president's body and left two tiny flakes of metal and air in the tissues along the path between the two holes. And it goes on to say that some critics have suggested that the two bullet holes were made by separate bullets, one fired from the front and one from the rear.
Well, you see, in this particular situation, he's giving an opinion that the front and back holes were made by the same bullet. I have a drawing of Dealey Plaza done by a group of scientists back east in Massachusetts who are experts in ballistics and trajectory and have studied all the photographs of the John Kennedy murder and have written numerous articles in computer and automation beginning with May 1970. And I keep saying, go to your library and look them up. The Monterey Library doesn't have those volumes. I've asked them to get them over at the Monterey Peninsula College. They do. But if the front and back bullet holes were made by the same bullet, one gun shooting from the sixth floor, not Oswald, could make two holes in John Kennedy. But the question is, were there more guns making other holes, like in John Conley, or the bullet that hit the curb where the flak, a man was bruised in the face and his cheek was bleeding? It seems there were six bullets there, and when you destroy the evidence of the curb or the sign or the lamppost and the car, and you lock up the x-rays so this kind of person can see them, you don't know how many other guns were shooting simultaneously, which they were doing.
Well, just the evidence that they give us here, they can't have it both ways. Either the bullet did travel on a parallel plane and did all the things they said it did, went through Kennedy into Connolly and bounced all over his body and out his wrist and through his navel, all that sort of thing. That could happen possibly. It would be pretty far-fetched, but it could possibly happen if the bullet were traveling on a parallel plane. But if the bullet were fired from above and to the rear, it could not possibly have done all the things that they say it did.
It couldn't have done all those things, but if the front and back bullet holes were made by the same bullet that this Dr. Latimer is saying, he takes it upon himself to tell you that the same bullet affected John Conley. John Conley says distinctly to the Warren Commission, I was hit by a separate bullet. This man's position is to tell you what he sees in the x-ray of John Kennedy. And the reason you know this is a government blanket whitewash to go all over the nation that he's getting into territory he wouldn't even know about. If he just spoke about John Kennedy's bullets, that would be one thing. But to say Oswald did it alone because two of the holes in him came from the same bullet doesn't tell about other locations of wounds.
I think this is one of those cases where you can say, well, you're right, I'm no medical expert, I'm no ballistics expert, what do I know? I'm just a poor country boy. But being a poor country boy, I know horse manure when I see it. And there is a suspicious aroma about this whole thing. You're listening to Dialogue Assassination with Mae Brussel on KLRB in Carmel.